Welcome back, everybody, to Yomi Tidur to Daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph 16a, and we are on the very top of Daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara had mentioned previously Gufa. We are towards the top. The Gemara says, we have said previously, Rabbi Yama Bar Tav Yomi. Rabbi Yama Bar Tav Yomi said, Sikha Bivavloi Kalim Psua, that if someone covered his sukkah and used as a schach worn out pieces of clothing, that sukkah is going to be invalid, even though right now it's not royal kabel tumas. Since it was at one point, it is going to be a problem. So ask the Gemara, my belay kalim. So what are these worn out pieces of clothing that we're referring to? So Rabbi Abai says, Matlonios She'ein Bahem Shalosh Al Shalosh, that these are referring to patches that are less than 3x3 etzbos, 3x3 finger breadths in size, that they are unsuitable for use, neither by poor people or by rich people, since they are nothing, you cannot go and use these things. Presumably, this is talking about things that were of a bigger garment that you now cut off, even though these things are so small, and we're just going to say that really they're not really mekabel tumah, and they should be okay for schach, since they were at one point part of something bigger, they are not going to be good. Comes Gemara and supports this, and says, Tanei kavasei d'Rabbi Ami bar Tav Yomi, there's a brisa that supports this din of Rav Ami bar Tav Yomi, mach tzelis shel shifa v'shalgemi, if you have a mat that's made of certain types of materials, like reeds and stuff, shiareha, so the remaining stuff of him, afal pishin ifchasu mikshireha, even though they have been reduced to size, that is less than what the amount is to go and have susceptibility to tuma, meaning so even though these materials generally would be a problem, but since they're so small that they are not makabal tuma, you'd think it would be okay. Still in misach and mahen, you are not allowed to be using schach for them because at one point they were that big, and that's why it's going to be an issue. This is not talking about reeds, it's talking about different types of materials. But it's the same concept that once it was part of something bigger, even if it's now no longer makabal tuma, rightly to be mekabel tuma, it's still going to be an issue. Brisa continues, machatzel sakonim, if you have a mat made of reeds, gedola mesachin ba, so a large one could be used as a schach, katana ein mesachin ba, but a smaller one cannot be used as a schach. Rashi explains what this means, is that if we have a large one, we can assume that it was actually made to be used as a schach, and then it's going to be totally fine, and therefore it's going to be a regular kli that's not mekabel tuma. But if it's small, presumably it was made as a mat, which is mekabel tuma, and that's why it would be a problem for schach. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer disagrees, and he says, no, afhi mekabel as tuma, even a large one contracts tuma bein mesachin ba, and you're not allowed to use for schach, because again, presumably he would assume that even by making a large mat, you're doing it so people would lie down on it, and therefore it is mekabel tuma, and therefore it's no good for schach. Remember, the qualifications for a schach, it needs to grow from the ground, it needs to be detached from the ground, and it can't be something which is mekabel tuma, so this all fits into that concept. Next, the Mishnah told us, achotesh begadish, that if someone hollows out a haystack to make a sukkah, that sukkah is going to be possible, and we've explained many times in the past that the reason for this is because this is tasev lo mina asu. You need to actively make a sukkah, you can't go and do it in some sort of passive way. So comes Gemara and qualifies this halach, amar avuna, this was only taught that this hollowing out of the haystack is not going to be good, and it's going to be an issue of tasel minasoi. That's only when there has not been a certain part that there's like a one tefach height that stays over a seven tefachim length. That if none of that exists before, then it's going to be a problem. But if that does exist before, aval yesh sham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. But if there was some sort of hole that had a height of one tefach for a length of and width of seven tefachim, then it would be okay. Hareza sukkah. This would be enough of a sukkah, because when you have one tefach on top of either a seven tefach or a ten tefach width and length, then it really is technically a kasher sukkah. Now you're just adding to it, and that's going to be okay because you actively made the kasher sukkah, and now you're adding to it passively. That's going to be okay. But if none of it was there, then you're doing a full building of the sukkah in a passive way, and that's going to be tasav alam and also issue, and that's going to be a problem. Tani nami hachi was also taught in the brisa achotei begadash lasos l'sukkah, that if someone hollows out a haystack to go and make a sukkah, hariza sukkah, this is going to be a sukkah. Ask the Gemara of Hanan Tanan, but we learned in our Mishnah in a sukkah that it's not going to be good. So rather interesting Gemara, elav shmamina kid Rav Huna, we learn from Rav Huna that there's a difference whether it had this one tefach covering beforehand or if it did not. If it did have that beforehand, then it's going to be kosher. If not, then it's not going to be kosher. Shmamina, that's what we see, that Rav Huna is right in this qualification. Ika derami la mirma, there are those who had a different version of how this Gemara reads, but the same concepts. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, achotei begadash lasos lo sukkah in a sukkah, that the Mishnah says that if someone hollows out a haystack to make a sukkah, that's going to be possible. Avahatanya harizu sukkah, but there's a brisa that says that it is going to be a sukkah. So in the Gemara again, amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, lo kasha kan bishyesh shamchal tefach b'meshach shiva, kan bishyesh shamchal tefach b'meshach shiva. So the difference is going to be whether there was this one tefach height that was over the seven tefach width and length, then it would be okay. Otherwise, it would not be okay. And this leads us to the next Mishnah. Now comes the Mishnah and discusses the walls of a sukkah. Hamashal shel defanos milmalo mata. So if someone builds walls from the top to the bottom, im gavoa min haaretz shlosha tefachim psula, that if the wall that you're making still has three tefachim above the ground, then it is going to be pasul. Meaning you built it from the top to the bottom, and you built the wall all the way down, but it stops three tefachim plus from the ground, it's going to be pasul. Milmata lemala, but if you're building it from the bottom up, im gavoa asar tefachim kshira, as long as the wall is 10 tefachim high, even if there is a major gap between the end of the wall and the schach, it is still going to be kosher. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, kishem shemilmata lemala asar tefachim, kach milmata lemata asar tefachim. Comes Rabbi Yossi, and he has a very interesting shita. And he says, just as what we said, if you're building from the bottom up, as long as you have 10 tefachim, it's going to be okay. So too, if you're building from the top down, as long as you have a 10 tefach wall, this is going to be okay. Now, these are a lot of the concepts that we've discussed in passing. These are a lot of the concepts which are coming up here. The whole three tefach thing, that as long as it's within three tefachim from the ground, that's what's known as lavud. If once it's more than three tefachim from the ground, it's no longer lavud, it's no longer connected. That's where the three tefach comes from. The second idea, that if you're building from the top, from the bottom to the top, and you have a 10 tefach wall, even if there's a gap between the schach and the wall, it's going to be okay. That's what's known as good asik mechitzta, that as long as we have this 10 tefach wall, we view it as if it goes all the way up to Shemayim. And then the last concept that we have, when you're going from top to bottom and there's a gap, according to Rabbi Yossi, he says this is going to be okay because he holds of a concept known as good achis mechitzta, that we, just like we view things, they're going up all the way to Shemayim once it's above 10 tefachim, so to Rabbi Yossi would say we view that it goes all the way down to however far we want it to go, all the way to the ground once it's above 10 tefachim, and this is what's known as good achis mechitzta. So comes the Gemara and says, but my kamaflegi, so what is this machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi? So mar savar mechitza tluya matera. So Rabbi Yossi seems to clearly say that having a mechitza tluya, a suspended wall, is going to be considered a valid wall. You would be allowed to carry on Shabbos in that Rishos, meaning it would make something a separate property for Shabbos that you would be able to carry in that, a Rishos HaYachid, or whatever it may be. So we see that when it comes to Hilchos Mechitza, the Halachos of walls, this would be considered a valid wall. So too over here by Sukkah, this is going to be a valid wall. This is what Rabbi Yossi would say. But Umar Savar, Mechitza Tluya in a Materas. But the other sheet, the Tanakhama, says that a Mechitza Tluya is not going to be okay, and you are not going to be allowed to have this on Shabbos or for a Sukkah. And now we're going to have to go into this discussion later, but that will be for tomorrow. This is Daf Tezayin Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.